meeting will come to order. Let's begin with a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today is Monday, October 22nd, 2018. This is a public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat. The notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Filer?
Here.
Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Lefkowitz?
Absent.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes, here.
Mr. Matson?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Absent.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, great. Thanks. Let me run down the agenda briefly. New business. We have vouchers and one set of meeting minutes to approve, one short resolution for Mandel, a request for extension of time from Sharma, and public hearing on Junio, is that correct?
Yes, Junio, yes.
Junio, okay. Anyone else have anything to add to the agenda? Okay, starting from the top, new business vouchers. I think we had about five or six. They all appeared to be in order to me, so I will move that we approve payment of the bills. Can I have a second on that, please?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays or abstentions?
I'm an abstention.
Abstention. Okay. Okay, meeting minutes of September 24th have been distributed. Eligible members: Eilis, Glaser, Matson, McCaffrey, Roberts, and Stevens. Mm-hmm. So anyone have any comments or corrections?
Nope.
No? I was saying to Denise, I thought the minutes were good, well-written, insightful. I mean, it's not just the facts. It was good. Well done. Mm-hmm. Well done. Okay. Motion to approve the minutes as written.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in, I guess we're going to call roll on this because it's not everyone.
Okay, Mr. Filer?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
I don't think I can vote on that.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He's not eligible, and
right.
Roberts is absent.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Adopt resolution number 2018-07 for Mandel. And John, I have version 2.
Correct. Today's date.
All right. Yes. Does anyone have any comments or corrections to this?
I'm sorry, no, this is the other one.
You're good?
Okay. What did I do?
I can go wrong three pages.
Three pages? I can't get three pages right. I'm like what can I have done in three pages? Because of all people, John normally doesn't correct the resolutions. I'm like, if he got something wrong, it had to be really bad.
It's just noteworthy. We're only up to number 7 for the year. It might be the smallest number of resolutions in
a long time,
10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now you've jinxed us, but thank you.
What's that?
Now you've jinxed us, but
it's make up for lost time.
We still have 2 months left. Yeah.
2 months.
Well, maybe not December. Maybe 1 month.
Okay. Motion to adopt. Let's see. It's McCaffrey, Matson, Stevens, Roberts, and Glaser. So let's.
Right. I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Stevens.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thanks. All right, so we're on to Sharma, extension of time.
Okay, now, as you're aware, Mr. Sharma is not here, but
I have a theory on why he's not here. All the other times he was ever here, what time did your meeting start?
Oh,
7:30.
Oh, so maybe we should just go to the next case?
Yeah.
Because if he's going to show up...
Right.
We can come back to it.
Right. Yeah. And if we finish this case, and then Mr. Sharma still doesn't come, then I can read it and see if you're comfortable with it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Good.
This is why, even if there's two things on the agenda and you're second, it's always smart to come when the meeting starts.
Well, that's why I asked, because one of the forms said 7:30, actually.
Yeah, you had the old form.
Yeah, yeah.
So. It always pays to ask and always pays to come on time or early.
Okay. So, Mr. Junio, come on up, please. Grab a seat. Just pull it on up to the table. We have the microphones.
Thank you.
And we're going to swear you in because you're going to testify.
Okay.
And, John, if you do that first, and then I'll explain what it is we're looking for you to cover.
Yep. We're going to swear in Mr. Junio, and we're going to swear in the board's planning expert, Mr. Behrens. Both of you raise your right hands, and the both of you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, either so help you God, or yes, I affirm.
I do.
Yes, I affirm.
Okay.
Okay, great. So we have your application, and what we'd like for you to do, please, is tell us three things. And one, physically describe the project, what it is that you're looking to do.
Okay.
Number two, just kind of recap for us the relief that you're looking for, height, side yard, and anything else that may come along. And number three thing that, in order for us to vote, we have to hear and judge the rationale for granting relief. And there can be two reasons. I don't know if anyone's gone over this with you before or not. One reason can be if there's some kind of hardship. The property is, you know, unusually narrow, or, you know, the house was built someplace that the only place you can do something. The other would be positive versus negative criteria. So there has to be some positive benefit to the community that outweighs the negative of giving a waiver and passing on the ordinance. So I'm not trying to tell you your case, but in looking at this, I didn't see that there's a hardship. I'm assuming that you're going to go for the positive criteria to the community outweighs the negative. So that's what we have to hear, those three things.
Okay.
All right.
So my wife and I moved into this new home on Chalfont Drive about a year ago, and it's our dream house. We're hoping to be there for a long time. Part of the appeal to us was that it was an old farmhouse, and we like that aspect of the community. And the one thing that I would like to add to the property and the home to improve it is to add a three-car detached garage. So the way the house sits on the property, most of the area slopes away from it, and there's a lot of wooded areas close to the house. So the area that we decided we would consider doing it is where you come in down the driveway where you could pull straight into the garage. So we're looking to put up a three-car garage, and I was also thinking of putting an upstairs for like an entertainment area / gym. So maybe a project that I would do in stages because it's a big project to do all at once. But I'd like to do something like that. And I'm into cars, so I was thinking of having a higher ceiling also for a possible lift inside, for personal use only, of course. I'm in the healthcare world, so I don't have any interest in doing any commercial, if that's a thought. But so that's my idea.
Okay, and you want to tell us about the relief you're seeking?
Yeah. So the height variance, my understanding is that 16 feet is the maximum height allowed by zoning. And I was looking to do, the average height ended up being 28 feet and 5 inches, and that's because of the extra height for the lift in the bottom floor and the upper floor. When you factor in the roof and the sloping of the roof to have a second floor, comes to 28 foot 5 inches. And as far as relief from the road, there's a 100-foot setback, and I think that the maximum that this would go into the setback would be at most 10 feet. And I spoke with my architect, and he thinks it would actually be closer to 5, but I would say 10 just to be safe.
Yes, when you say into the setback 10 feet, so you're saying instead of a 100-foot setback, you would be providing a 90-foot setback.
Correct. And that would only be one corner of where I would plan on putting it. It wouldn't be the entire structure, but just because it's on an angle, one corner of the building would cut in about 5 feet into the setback.
When you say the average height is 28 foot 5 inches, you mean height as defined to be measured in the ordinance comes to 28 foot 5 inches? Because
correct.
That's how the ordinance tells you to do it.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, so it's height variance and setback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And anything else you want to say to that, or do you want to go on to part three?
No, I think that would be all for that part.
Okay, yes. And I'm sure we'll have questions for you. But
sure.
But go ahead. Okay, so part three, rationale for the variance.
So as far as location, you mean, on the property and why it would go there, you mean, or just...
Well, two things. In terms of why it has to go there, the first question would be, well, why don't you put it someplace where it conforms? And, you know, if you can't for some reason because the property is unusually shaped,
mm-hmm.
you need to hear that. Or if there's some good reason why it ought to go here because somehow that benefits the community.
Okay.
And then same for the height. You know, is there some reason you can't make it meet the 16 feet? And because the property is unusually shaped, there's some hardship. Or if you're saying there's some benefit to the community of making it taller, what is that? You know, we need some rationale. We can't just say, hey, it looks like a nice building, you're a nice guy, you know, let's
yeah.
do it. Well, you can't. That's not the way, you know, we're chartered.
Okay. So as far as location, I figured it would be the best spot just because it is pretty heavily wooded around most of the house. Off of the east, southeast side of the house is the septic field, and that would be closer, even closer to the road, to the east of the deck. Directly to the left or westward side of the house, there's a... there's an island of trees, and it slopes quite sharply uphill. So it would require quite a bit of excavation to do something off to that side. And that's also where there's an existing barn structure.
When you say barn structure, is that... It says a frame garage. Is that what you're saying
yes.
the barn structure
yeah.
is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it would be helpful...
Yeah, you know.
Now, as far as rationale,
Tom's gonna. Why don't you leave it there? Just,
okay.
I'll tell you, Tom will get it. He'll bring the easel over here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have a board in the back. To
Do you have
on.
A board?
Yeah,
that's great. We're gonna get an easel, a board, and a plan.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it.
So while Denise is getting that. So what you're saying is you can't even move the corner of this thing out 10 feet to comply with 100 feet?
You mean to move it in?
Whichever way. In other words, can you show the board where the 10-foot encroachment is?
Sure. So the way my architect, Bob, drew this on the plans, he has it right here, and if it's within the setback line, it would come forward and onto the existing driveway. So I'm talking about angling it slightly this way so I don't have to disrupt the existing driveway.
But on the plan, you show that you comply with the 100 foot. Right? Who submitted this plan?
The architect that I'm working with.
On this plan, it shows the three-car garage totally complying with the 100-foot line.
I see, yeah.
In fact, Tom's memo says, mm-hmm. even though you noticed for a variance, his memo says you complied because he looked at this plan and it complied. So,
just to be clear, it complies with the 100-foot setback for the zone, but it stipulates that when it's in front of the house or between the house and the road, that causes an issue, and it's not far enough back. So there's
a different problem,
right. a different situation.
Right, but
okay, yeah.
Just we're focusing on the wrong thing is all I'm saying.
Right, right. right.
The house is 110 feet back.
111
feet, it says on the plan. Mm-hmm. So what Tom's saying is under the ordinance, for accessory structure 165-97, the structure would have to be 111 feet back. So the 11-foot encroachment is that the proposed structure is 100 feet instead of 111. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, you were talking to the board about a corner.
About having it be closer to 90 feet from the road. In order to not disrupt...
I did not know that. Because that's not what was shown on the plan. I did not know that that's what you were talking about.
So what you're proposing
is... I wasn't able to review these plans before Bob submitted them, so...
Sorry. So what you're proposing is different than what's being shown.
Correct. Yeah, it was actually... He drew it overlapping the driveway, which is...
Yeah, he moved it.
I didn't discuss that with him, but I discussed having it more like this, and then it would cut into the setback slightly.
Yeah.
What did
and
you guys,
we also downsized it from what he originally drew.
I think we have an old revision. Like, we checked the revision numbers on that now? Because ours has had an angle encroaching on the 112, even down on the 100. So that one's it's been reoriented on that one. It looks like it's American more straight. Looks like
what see the that stance on that one.
Angle. It does, yeah, I think yeah. Which is
we did have to go and revise it.
February 26th.
Yeah, but what I have a date stamp on it.
There's three revisions.
Second,
what's it say?
That was the first one.
What?
That's the first one. Then there's a July, August 16th one, which is where we're looking.
Okay. August. We got the wrong one.
And this one also shows 100 feet, even though it's at an angle.
Right.
Well, this is
and
the
then there's a sketch plan.
In the garage.
He shows it within. And then I think I showed him, after he drew this preliminary plan, I did that outline and said, well, this is where I would want it to be so I don't disrupt the driveway. So I guess that... He never submitted another plan that showed that.
I don't really know what was given to us.
Okay. Right, yeah. And I have a process question.
And I thought what was noticed that you submitted were all the same. I didn't know that there was any change in the position.
Okay.
Hold up one second. The notice, because it was a little shaky to me. I did the notice in a way that the notice, in my opinion, is good. Let me read you what I wrote in the notice. But the applicant wrote in the notice that I reviewers just made some suggestions to him. An application for development for variances, exceptions, or other relief so as to permit a deviation from Ordinance Section 165-97 to construct a 28-foot, 5-inch high detached 3-car garage, because that was clear, where the maximum height allowed by the ordinance is 16 feet, and to locate the accessory garage approximately 100 feet from the property line where the minimum front yard is 250 feet on the premises. Now, I said 250 feet. Frankly, I don't even remember where I got that from.
The five-acre rule. If it was a normal five-acre parcel,
right.
It would be 250.
Yeah.
And what's whip. The acreage?
That's the
this is 5.05.
Five.
So why isn't the 250-foot front the
there's
because climate? The house is already there.
Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I have to preface. What the notice says is even though he wants to come closer than 100 feet, I had a more stringent 250-foot setback. But I said approximately 100 feet.
Okay.
So
that's enough.
I'm thinking, you know what? Probably anyone would be on notice of a 150-foot discrepancy in the setback is probably fine.
Yeah, right. We're probably okay.
Yeah, on that.
Okay. I guess the question stands, what is, going back to the three questions.
Sure.
What exactly are you looking for? You're looking for a 90-foot setback?
Correct.
Okay.
Hold it.
Read it.
Let me just read the language. I think I'm right. That's correct.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very different conversation.
Okay. Ordinance 165-97B. Mm-hmm. Does the required minimum accessory building setback, this is not principal building, accessory building setback from streets shall be, quote, same as for principal buildings, but the accessory building shall not be located closer to a street than the principal building.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding the above, on lots of at least 5 acres, the accessory building may be located closer to the street than the principal building, provided, however, the accessory building is located at least 250 feet from the street.
Still 250.
So if it's in front of the building, it would have to be 250 feet. If it's not in front, if it's not in front of the building, it has to be at the building setback. Mm. So,
which would be 100.
Which in this case, the building, according to whichever plan you look at,
111, I think
it's about 100. The corner of the deck is 111.
111. Well. No, the corner of the house is 111.
But the deck.
The wood deck is closer,
closer to 100.
Yeah, the wood deck looks like it's closer to 100 feet. The deck is part and parcel of the house. Therefore, the requirement here for the setback, I'm going to say to play it safe, the requirement should be 100 feet because the deck is approximately 100 feet back from the road. Now, again, which is the latest plan? Is it...
August
16th should be.
Right. So August 16th, 2018, has the garage, streetcar garage on an angle, but it has the corner 100 feet. It doesn't have the corner 90 feet.
Okay.
So can you just take a good look at this?
Sure.
The other issue is this is the plan. Mr. Chairman, this plan is on file.
The one that we have,
yes.
August 16th.
Yes, and that's the plan that had to be on file 10 days before this hearing because that's the plan he wants approved. I don't think you can really change the thing to make it 90 feet tonight, even if you wanted to.
Right.
It's not a notice issue. It's a plan on file issue.
Right. People wouldn't be able to review it.
Right. We could have some discussions about principles and where the board's thinking is.
Right.
Okay.
And so could you explain? Oh, geez. Let's get this plan.
You want me to hang this back up?
Yeah. I want you to. Nice.
Which one are you hanging up? The one that matches that what we
August
have?
What did my copy? What we all had? August 16th.
212.
Just so you guys can see, I'm going to draw yellow highlighting.
Yeah.
There is your 100-foot building setback line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to recommend that for purposes of this hearing, that the requirement under the ordinance is 100 feet because the deck is approximately 100 feet from the street. So if you read that 165-97B, an accessory structure can't be closer to the street than the principal structure. Mm-hmm. The principal structure is approximately 100 feet from the street. Everyone with me so far?
Yep.
Well, does it say it can't be closer to the street, or does it say it can't be between the street and the house?
Can you read the language again, Tom?
The required minimum accessory building setback from streets shall be the same as for principal buildings, but the accessory building shall not be located closer to a street than the principal building.
Principal building is located approximately 100 feet from the street, so the accessory structure under your ordinance can't be located closer than 100 feet from
the
street.
Yeah, all right.
Right now, the accessory structure complies with the setback.
Right. So the 250 doesn't matter.
250 doesn't matter anymore. Right. So right now, if you stick with this plan, all you need is a height variance.
Okay.
If you don't want to stick with the plan, you can talk to the board about it. You're going to have to come back next month, but you're going to have to explain to the board why you can't locate the garage where your architect located it.
Hey, John, just to be precise about this, because if someone like Mike Wright gets out there and says the deck is 103 feet,
right.
And he comes out and says 100 feet isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, you're right about that.
We better be precise. This guy, the guy who does the checking, is going to be out there with a ruler, and if you're off by 2 feet, you're going to have a problem.
Make it 102 feet. Or get the variance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a scale.
Right. To comply, you'd have to move it back 2 more feet.
I see.
Get a variance for 2 feet, but again, I understand the rationale. It looks like to me that the architect's rationale is
the overlap over the overlapped driveway.
Lifted over the pavement
to meet the setback line.
Right. What would be the problem of losing 2 feet?
I guess it wouldn't be too bad. Yeah. If we had to cut it, we're going to be cutting the driveway anyway, probably. We're adding to it to have it connect to the garage.
You're going to have to cut the driveway and then patch it anyway. So
we could leave it as is then, and I don't need to seek variance.
Well, not to leave it. You're going to
setback.
To comply,
we'll have to come in 2 feet.
Right, you're going to move the garage 2 feet further to the...
Equidistant to the deck.
Yes, the garage equal distance to the deck.
To the northwest.
Per the scale, you're talking roughly 2 feet.
About 2 feet.
Move garage northwest approximately 2 feet to be equal distance to street as is deck on house. Okay. So, with that said, the only variance you need is the height variance.
Okay.
So now you don't have to justify the location. Now you got to explain to them why you need a garage higher than 16 feet. In fact, not only higher than 16 feet, but 28 foot 5 inches.
Okay.
And I guess the first question will be, what's the height of your house?
It's a good question. I know it's 2.5 stories. I don't know the height of my house. But I know that it's not going to be anywhere near the height of it because we have 2 full stories, and then they added the previous owner added a third level, a single room up top, as I'm sure you can see in the picture. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the exact height.
How do you know that it's not more than? How do you know that it's more than 28 feet 5 inches?
It has to be.
Why?
Because each level is at least 10 feet.
Well, is it? Do you have 10-foot ceilings or 8-foot ceilings?
8-foot ceilings, but there's. But there's space in between each level. It's usually a
you
foot
have
between
a picture of the house.
You have a picture of the house with the garage hand drawn in.
You can easily say that the house is
at least 35.
Is greater than 26 feet.
The foundation.
And I actually think the site might be a little bit lower than the house, too, as I look at the pictures. I'm not lying.
I would say it's a little close, but maybe a touch lower.
Like
yeah,
it sneaks down a little bit, maybe. So we're saying it won't be higher. Close to the residence? Is 35?
You should ask. Let him do the testifying, not you.
Sorry.
Yeah. But ask the question.
Yeah. So your testimony would be that you don't believe that the garage will be higher than the current residence.
I am almost absolutely sure. I mean, without knowing the exact height of the house, but I know the house is 3 stories, and this is a 2-story structure that I'm looking to build.
So could you take us back to the rationale? Again, there's 2 reasons that we can give variances. One, if there's some hardship, unusual shape lot, which may not be the case here. The other is there some benefit to the community which would outweigh the detriment of giving the variance?
Well, I'm looking to make an improvement to the property. I'd like to hold on to the aesthetic appeal of having a rustic, you know, farmhouse-looking property, and I wanted to have a nice garage that I don't want to put up just a steel structure. I want to put up something with a nice siding, roof. I want the stone veneer to match the house. And I'd like to have it, you know, be appealing and not an eyesore. So that's what I'm looking
to
do.
Could you not do a nice garage that's 16 foot tall with stone siding? And is that changed? Does the siding change?
I suppose it's possible, but then it could only be 1 level.
Right.
There's another possibility.
I just want to finish down this train of thought here first, which is, so help us understand, what's the benefit to the community? I'm wrestling with this one a little bit.
I think everybody will be able to drive by and enjoy looking at it. I mean, I don't know how anybody can make an improvement to their property and say it's benefiting the community. I don't know.
Well, I'll give you an example.
I have a good example for that.
If you'd like one.
Sure.
There are people that have said, if you allow me to build a garage where one is not permitted, it will allow me to get my car and lawnmower and lawn spreader off the street, and I think it'll look nicer to the town because instead of all my stuff sitting on the side of the house, it's in the garage. And we'd say, well, yeah, okay, that kind of benefits the community. That would be one example. Yeah.
We have an example. If he wanted to do a 28-foot, 5-inch-high garage and not need height variance, all he'd have to do is have it connected to the side of the house. Now, if you attached it, now the garage is part and parcel of the house, subject to the height limitations into the house. Now, you might say, that is not as aesthetically pleasing as where I have it proposed. That would be a benefit to the community. I'm not suggesting it is. I'm just saying that that's...
It's an option.
That's an option. That's not only an option to get rid of the variance if you wanted to, but it's an option to make an argument to have the variance for the detached 28-foot, 5-inch garage.
So I did think about that. This part of the property past the house slopes pretty sharply upward.
Right, but to make this argument, you have to argue that you could actually attach it to the house. Because if you can actually attach it to the house, therefore you wouldn't need a variance. Your benefit to the community is that it would look better where you have it proposed than in a compliant location. If you're going to argue that it's physically impossible to attach it to the side of the house, you're going to lose your aesthetic argument for putting it where it is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
What if aesthetically to me, I don't want it attached to the house on the other side where you're proposing.
Okay.
He's missing the point.
Let me listen again.
So if you could say to us, I could do something without a variance if I attached it.
Right.
But it's better for the community if I detach it because it looks better.
Right.
So compared to the two options,
I see.
The one with the variance looks better. It's better for the community. Now, you know, I'm not saying we agree with that, but that, Mr. Drill is saying that's an argument you should make.
Right.
But you'd have to, before you could make that argument, you'd have to be clear and convince us that option one was feasible.
Andy, you ready for this? There's an added argument to that. If he did attach it to the side of the house, look at the picture.
Right.
He'd be attaching it to the side of this beautiful, historic, you know, stone barn or garage or whatever it was.
Farmhouse.
He'd be actually covering up the side with the chimney. I'm looking at that, and I'm like, wow, does that look nice.
And the height, John, could be the height of the other side.
Yeah,
so it could be like this.
And it would totally change the look of the historic structure.
Mm-hmm.
If you moved it where you have it proposed and had it detached, not only does it aesthetically look better to the community, but you're actually... not only an aesthetic benefit, but you're kind of preserving an historic structure. A double whammy.
I like Mr. Drill's argument.
Yeah, I'm not sure Mr. Drill should be making your argument.
Yeah,
for you. John, I'd be a little heavy-handed here. But
all right. I was exploding a possibility.
Okay.
It would benefit the community, perhaps, by...
Mr. Drill said.
Okay, but before I buy that argument,
sure.
You'd have to let us see what we're comparing this against. Is there a plan that shows... the garage could be attached to the primary residence. You're asking us to pick between two options. I don't know that option A is realistic unless your architect or you or someone says option A, the least desirable one, is in fact feasible. I can't pick this option B better if I don't know that unless there really is an option A.
Didn't you previously say that you did discuss the option of attaching it?
Of having it on that side, yeah.
And just tell us why you went away from it.
Well, so part of it was because it would require extensive excavation. There's actually an island of trees here as well that are... There's probably about 6 or 8
there's
trees.
There's an island of trees that are not shown on the plan,
you're saying?
There's trees that are not shown on that plan?
Correct. Yeah, this is wooded, but then there's an island of trees that's closer to the house, and there's at least 6 trees, and they're all about 50 feet or higher. So it would require extensive excavation, removal of those trees, and I think it would be aesthetically displeasing to connect it to the house in that location. So that's why it was never factored in my mind.
And if I understand the plan we're looking in front of us, it implies that approximately 20 trees will be disrupted with the proposed structure, if I'm understanding the right side of this drawing properly?
That's correct.
And your testimony would be that were it done adjacent to the building, a similar number or a higher number of trees would be disrupted and taller trees? Or
They were smaller trees than the ones on that island, but a higher number, yes.
Okay.
I hate to put the thing off, but if your architect was here, right?
He had another hearing, unfortunately. I asked him to be here today, and he had another hearing that was already on his schedule. So he in another township. So unfortunately, he couldn't make this one because of that conflict. So I was hoping he could be here for me.
Who is your architect?
Robert Coleman. I believe his name is on the plans. Yeah.
Oh, Robert Coleman. I see. Yeah. Okay.
No, I have mine.
Could you, I know you're not your architect, obviously. Could you talk about how you came to the decisions with regard to the materials of the house and the shape, and if at all it relates to the existing structure? Or
so I wanted it to mesh well with the historic feel to the house. So I'm going with the same siding that I have on the house, clapboard siding. The stone veneer I want to do around the part that would need to be elevated and built up because of the slope, I would want to have a stone veneer that matches the stone veneer on the house. The roofing, I decided to go with a metal roofing to have that barn-like feel to the garage.
Presumably the colors would be consistent with the house or the area.
Yeah, I was thinking of actually going, not matching the house, but doing like a clean white color.
Traditional barn.
White, yeah, barn, white doors, white clapboard siding, black roof.
What's the purpose of the porch around?
So I talked to Bob about potentially even changing that from a porch to just an overhang. I want to keep firewood there because I have a wood-burning stove in the house, so an overhang would just provide me a good area to keep wood.
So the submission that we got, I think, shows the overhang and not a porch, because I was confused on the porch, like Tom's letter mentioned a porch, and so I looked at the elevations.
There was one point where we revised the plans a little bit. I talked to a couple builders, and I downsized things a little bit. It was originally going to be what it says in this Tom's paper actually was revised. So it says 30 by 53,
yeah,
but we revised that to 26 by 37 feet 4 inches.
Wait a minute. Okay. I just want to see what is on these August
16th, right?
So I think he revised that. Yeah, 37 4 in length.
Is an overhang
in depth?
Yeah. Is an overhang shown here?
Yes.
And is there a porch under the overhang?
No.
So that's a different plan. There was a porch.
Right.
There was a porch on the original plan.
That's been removed.
Yeah.
So this is an overhang around three sides of the garage.
Correct.
You're going to have that much firewood? It's going to go three sides around the garage?
No, I think it's also aesthetically pleasing. I would put some firewood maybe on one side, two sides, but no, it wouldn't go all the way around. But I think it has a nice look to have that, especially with the extra height of the structure. I think cutting it in the middle would make it look nice.
In terms of coming to the height of the structure, you obviously have the slope down the backside, which gives it, you know, an extra foot or two. You've got the 12-foot ceilings on the first floor. Second floor to the peak of the roof, you've got, I estimated, I think it's about 12 or 13 feet. How can we maybe reduce? Is there any way to mitigate that, or how did you arrive at that?
I was talking with Bob about it, and I think that part of it was because we have to adjust for the slope of the roof. So to have a normal height ceiling of 8 feet coming up from the sides, you'd have it 8 feet, and then the rest is going to be, I guess, would be attic space. But because of the slope of the roof, it would have to be from floor to the apex of the roof would be 13 feet, but your side walls would be 8 foot.
So it's because of the slope of the
because
roof.
Of the slope of the roof.
To have a shallower roof, you would have a shallower pitch, if that makes sense. Or a flatter roof.
Flatter
to achieve
roof.
A lower height.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Will the slope of the roof on the accessory building be close to the slope on the existing structures, or if very different?
I believe it'll be close to that. I think that's what he was going for as well.
Yeah, because on the farmhouse, it looks in the picture, and I can't testify.
Yeah.
It looks somewhat shallow, but I can't really tell, I suppose.
So you mentioned a lift inside the building
at
one point. Is that for all 3 days?
Or no, I would just probably have one lift, not more than one.
So, and the height is contingent on that lift, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So
height of the first.
Right. So, but it dictates the height of the second floor.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, isn't it possible to incorporate or make the second floor or the third floor shorter? You know,
you know, even though the building's going to still be rectangular, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then have the lift be in one section, and then you could be compliant because it'd be in the roof section, and then the rest of it, the rest of the building would be that open space that you're looking for, right?
Right. Yeah. That's a possibility, and I was thinking of having the lift on the side that's closest to the house, and that's also the side where I would have stairs going up. So then I would have to have the stairs elsewhere, like on the other side of the garage, which would kind of be a nuisance to have to walk around the garage to get to the stairs. So I just figured I'd have the stairs on the closest side.
So the stairs are the entryway to the second.
And then, I suppose, though, the lift can go on the other side of the garage, but and then I'd be cutting into my floor space in the upstairs.
You want the lift far away from the house because the number of times per week that you go into the lift section
is going to be less.
It's going to be less.
Okay. I could understand that. But, I would have to give up the floor space upstairs, which, I mean...
Is there any way you could reduce it, just this, the height at all? I know we talked about the pitch, but just... And that may be a question for your architect. What other alternatives are possible or, maybe that you've explored already? Because, again, you're going from the floor of the second level to the peak. It looks about 13 feet, I think is precise.
Right, because, as I mentioned before, the sidewall
is
a normal height upstairs, but because of the roof, you'd want to allow for at least a 8-foot ceiling to be a normal height ceiling.
Mr. Junior, you had mentioned before, I'm looking at putting the garage, asking about if you could put the garage to the left of the driveway. Now, you said you had an island of trees in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about the same number that you're going to be excavating or removing now anyway as the area is proposed.
Mm-hmm.
What slope do you think you have on that left side?
It depends on how far you go out to the side. It continues to slope up.
Well, I understand. But what I'm getting after is, if you're going to go for an average height,
mm-hmm.
two things. Number one, if you're going for the average height, as you make the front, the entranceway to your garage, driving in, let's say that's going to be the same elevation as your pavement, or mm-hmm. pretty close to it.
Sure.
By the time you get...
Over here?
Yes.
He's onto something good here.
So now, if you're leaving the driveway at the same level, the garage floor level, as same as the driveway, if you push it back 24 foot or whatever it is, you may lose height, the height, the average height, as you measure it all the way around.
I mean, you're burying it.
You're burying it. I know it's going to be excavation, I realize, but you're going to have cut and fill on this other side, too. You're going to have to compact that on the other side. You're going to put.
Yeah, I understand that fill would have to go there, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to do something there as well. But also, the height would be reduced somewhat. But I'm looking, too, if it was, it's not my house, it's a beautiful house, very nice, but would you want to put that nice-looking garage right in front of your house as you look out over, the road, over the meadow, whatever else? If it's to the right of your windows as you look out, it may even be more aesthetically pleasing for yourself. It may also get it away from this variance, the setback that we're talking about, which may or may not exist,
mm-hmm.
but also it may fit in a little bit better with these other trees that still may exist around there. If you're going to leave it where it is right now, we're proposing to put it where it is, you're going to have that back of that garage sticking up significantly, 28 feet or whatever, pretty mm-hmm. darn high. But on the other side, it wouldn't be, to me, noticeable. Okay. It's just a thought that you might consider doing that. And I think what, excuse me, Ms. Stevens brought up before, you may be losing some storage area,
mm-hmm.
but that might be some consideration with only the one bay going up. And it's not you're going to lose it altogether.
Right.
You may still have something over top of that if you want to. I mean, if you want to put a floor or ceiling, say, over top of your one bay that you've got to lift in,
mm-hmm.
you may not lose it altogether. You just...
So I did actually consider that possibility, and part of the reason that The other part of the reason we didn't go with that is I was speaking with the builder, and he told me the excavation and retaining wall itself would be a ton of work, and it would be a hardship for me financially. He said it would be probably at least $40,000 for excavation and a retaining wall, because it's quite a bit that would be cut out.
The more you cut out, the less height you're going to get for this variance.
But he's talking about having a retaining wall if you're cutting into the hill. And I don't even know how that would look to have a retaining wall there.
Well, maybe just some grading also. You know, I'm not sure. A 3-to-1 slope, which is standard. Did it give you any idea how much you would be cutting into that left hand? That's the hillside?
I think it was about 12 or 16 feet.
Oh.
It was quite a bit.
That's pretty significant.
It slopes pretty high up.
You know, your pictures don't show that.
I should have taken a picture. Did I take a picture facing that way, where that barn is?
You've got not exactly. Kind of right now. Illustrates that area. If you want to go, maybe show them.
Yeah, I know.
Did you draw the proposed barn in?
You can't really see it.
That's not
that
it.
Side.
It's over here.
You're saying it doesn't show how dramatic.
Yeah, it doesn't show how dramatic because it slopes up from here on.
So here's the slope.
But this doesn't illustrate that. If you were to look. That wouldn't be on that point.
No, because you just this is the walkway right here, and then you can't really see back behind us from that angle. Because you remember, got to remember, I'm down at the street, looking up the slope. So everything behind us
from the driveway, the area we're talking about is a grade differential of 12 feet.
So
this area, this spot, let's go.
Yeah.
From the driveway to this vicinity that we're talking about, what's the grade differential? Is that where it slopes up 12 feet, or is it closer to 4?
Do you have copies of the topography that I...
This?
Yeah. So that kind of shows it well. So you could see from the 380 line here, you can see this, it's steeply sloped up here to 410 toward that corner of the lot.
Do you want me to share that with you?
Sure.
And they already have that.
So you can see the topography lines here, and this is more of a gradual slope, but as you get here into where the area of that barn is, it starts to slope up that way.
Did I say that?
I wish I took a picture of that corner, but I didn't think that area would factor in.
So these are 20-foot contours from the quadrangle sheet, USGS quadrangle sheet. Is that what this came from?
That came from, I think, a U.S. topographical map.
Yeah, quadrangle sheet.
Freshwater
wetland. That's low. Okay, this is the proposed garage, or I'm not sure
correct.
What that is.
This is the proposed garage, and the area that you're talking about to the...
It's going
to
be up here.
It's going to be up in here. Up in here, yeah.
Okay, this is usually a 2,000 scale.
Can I just take you back again?
Sure.
It sounds like the argument that you want to put forth is that the reason we should do this is because it's better than the alternative attaching it to the house. Speaking just for myself, not for the other board members, I'd have to see more evidence about what it would look like attaching it to the house in order to make a sound judgment that this is better. The other board members may feel differently about it. They may feel like they've got enough, but I'm just kind of showing my hand.
Why don't you ask some of the other board members, but some people are shaking their heads yes with you. Why don't you?
I agree. We don't have enough evidence now to draw a conclusion on that.
On those two options.
Exactly.
Right. I want to understand the topography better.
Okay.
Much better.
Anyone disagree with that position?
Over here, we didn't have enough information?
Yeah.
Correct.
I don't have enough information over here either, really. Sorry. Yeah.
Let me just ask this sort of in a completely non-binding way. If he were to come back with a plan that shows it could be attached to the house, what would you need to see in order to judge that detaching it was better than attaching it? What criteria would you use to weigh those two options?
I'm concerned about the height.
Well, the height would be the same.
Well, if it's banked, it may appear different.
You're saying that his proposed location, that Mr. Yeager has yet another,
he's got a third option.
Right.
That third option was not part of the rationale. The rationale was putting it where it is a better option than attaching it to that.
Right.
Mr. Rager's, he's got a third one.
Right. What I'm saying is, though, the board, you're not locked into exactly what's proposed.
No, I'm just saying.
Maybe if you thought it was even a better location than Yeager, you consider that one, too.
But if the nature of his argument is that this or something is better than attaching it, what criteria would you use to weigh the options there? I know what I would use, but I don't want to give my
I know what
version.
I would use, but I'm keeping my mouth shut, too.
I'm trying to think a little bit what constituted attachment. And I believe it needed some sort of a roof passageway.
Yeah. Can we talk about a pergola in one case, a loft, and that would have been sufficient?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
A covered
either
walkway?
Be physically attached right to the side, or you could have some sort of covered walkway to attach it.
It had to be covered.
Yes, had to be covered.
Didn't need to be enclosed in heat.
Correct. It's got to be covered. Okay. Needed a roof.
Needed
like
a roof.
Attaching A to B. Yes.
So a walkway attaching them would meet the test, right?
Correct.
So it could be a 4-foot walkway or a 10-foot walkway.
Correct. In fact, I believe that one of your applicants wanted to have some kind of like art studio or something in the back, and it was going to be higher than 16 feet. So the way they got around it, you guys suggested that she just attach it, and she did. It became part and parcel of the house, and the variance went away.
Right. Mm-hmm. So is your question about the location specific?
No, I'm just saying if he says, I've got two options here.
Right.
I can attach it to the house, or I can do it separately. And separately is going to be better. My question is, what criteria would we use to say, it really is better there? I mean, are there some things? So we have to give them a little bit of guidance. I mean, I'll tell you what I would look for. Like, if you told me you had to cut down a bunch of trees, frankly, for me, I don't know that that would carry a lot of weight, because I've heard the testimony that says there are many, many trees on this property. So losing a few, to me, that wouldn't carry a whole lot of weight. You lose a few, you still have, I don't know, do you have hundreds of trees? Was that a...
Probably.
Okay. So if you lost
at least in
a few,
the dozens, yeah.
Okay. So for me, losing a few trees, that wouldn't carry a lot of weight. You'd lose a few trees to put it in the right place. Okay. We had another case not that long ago where we had the same discussion. I said I can save a few trees if I put it here. We said, yeah, cut the trees down. You know, so it's not too close to your neighborhood. So I wouldn't give much weight to that. I'm trying to think what other criteria I would use.
What about if he attached it to that beautiful brick historic structure and covered up the side with a chimney?
That chimney would have to be removed if I was going to attach it.
To be fully attached,
try and change.
I guess I'd want to see that. It's aesthetically more pleasing. You know, show me some pictures.
I think also, Mr. Chairman, understanding the slope issues in that area, maybe with some additional site photographs, that would be.
But isn't seeing the house in its form right now aesthetically pleasing enough to not disrupt it?
Well, I don't know what I'm comparing it to.
Right.
You would be comparing it to disrupting it and having a covered roof running into that wall.
That he wants to see it.
Right?
Yeah, that's not enough of a description just to say disrupting it. I don't, you know, I don't know that I could put that on the record and say, oh, that was enough and clear enough and detailed enough evidence that I'm confident in my vote. There, you know, a two-word description just isn't going to do it for a project of this magnitude. At least not for me. I mean, the others may feel differently, and they're free to comment.
I agree.
I'm struggling with the height.
I'm struggling with the height overall anyway. Go ahead.
So I'm struggling with the height. So to me, the rest is, I won't say it's moot, but it's not near as important to me as the height issue.
Okay.
And I've got a corollary. The height concerns me, too, based on the prominent placement of the current siding, which is replacing a small shed. The height, I think, I want to see the elevation, would be less offensive to me if it's across and kind of hidden more in the back of the property. Right now, it's sort of very prominent.
because it's sort of in the front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, 100 feet is so broad as the roadway versus 100 whatever feet that would be.
Yeah.
Would bother me less. Even if it was the same 28 feet, if it wasn't excavated a lot, it would bother me less on that side, I think.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the other things that does concern me, too, is, and it concerned me when I was reading all the documents, and is that the three-car garage in and of itself is larger than my house, my existing house. So I'm looking at this property and saying, okay, well, now we're, like, making a complex here. Because there's other smaller buildings on the property, and then there's this new big garage going in that's almost the size of the house. So it looks like you have two houses there. And so that's the other thing that concerns me about the height. It's kind of overwhelming, to be honest.
If you see the homes across the street from me, I mean, they have three-car garages, both of them
attached, but still, they're attached.
But those homes are at least 45, 50 feet, if not higher. I mean, they're very high.
I think what this board member is saying is...
There's two different houses.
Right. A big house doesn't bother her.
Right.
But this thing, because the garage, the height, it looks like you have two residential structures on one lot. She's saying she'd rather see it attached.
Well, it's a garage. It's a barn. It's not a dwelling.
But it doesn't
accessory building.
That's the way what it is. Positioned. But that's not. She's saying that's not what it looks like to
I
her.
I agree. In the prominent placement again, back point. The prominent placement there almost makes it look like the main building. Although the two buildings in the back are beautiful.
So these foundations here, where there used to be barns on the property,
yes.
Their stone foundations are still there. Those barns, from what I hear from one of the neighbors on a farm down the street, they were four stories tall.
Is that important now?
Well, let me ask you this.
I'm just making a comparison.
Why couldn't you put it down there?
I don't want to move those foundations.
You don't have to build on top of them.
I mean, it looks like...
No, they're half up.
Oh, so it's an old farm.
I'm just trying to
describe... What about Member Yeager's suggestion?
I'm just trying to describe the relevance of having it be aesthetically appealing. So an old farmhouse had old barns that were extremely high, but having a barn-type structure, I think, is appealing to a farmhouse as an accessory.
That's not the choice in front of us today. That's not...
Mr. Yeager's suggestion, see, when the way you have it proposed, the garages are obviously facing the pavement.
Yeah. Correct.
Have access. So the people that are driving on your frontage... Like Stephen says, even though they're seeing the back of the building, this doesn't look like a garage to them.
Right, it's more aesthetically pleasing than a garage.
She says
than
it looks
looking
like
at
a
doors.
Second building. If you did what Mr. Yeager did and flipped it around and stuck it in here, the garages are out here. It's further away from the street, and it actually looks like it's more like a three-car garage. Here, it looks more like...
But then I would have one building on top of another on that side to have that barn that's there.
But maybe the board wouldn't mind that.
It's
not obviously,
it doesn't bother Mr. Yeager. He thinks it's a good idea.
I'd like to echo
Ms.
Stevens' comments.
They don't live on that property. This is my house.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're looking for a variance.
Yes, please.
Okay. So, and what we're suggesting to you is some of the criteria that, or some of the things that concern us about the property and what you're asking for us to allow you to do. Because basically, you know, the zoning is there to keep the value of everybody's properties and keep everything kind of aesthetically pleasing in all properties. Okay, so it benefits everybody, not just you.
I understand. Okay?
So what we're suggesting to you is that if you want to deviate from the zoning, some of the things that we're concerned about as to why we might not grant it to you.
Okay.
So I understand that you like your plan. I would love my plan, too, if I were presenting a plan. But I would really consider what we're saying in your next visit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I can probably take into account your recommendation and possibly just have the lift be in a section that cuts into the upstairs and make it a little shorter. And maybe just go a little bit above the height restriction instead of 28 feet.
Yeah, I'd like to echo Ms. Stevens' comments. When I looked at this, it was really way beyond what the ordinance called for. And normally, if you were looking for 16, if it's 16 feet and you're looking for 18 because the roof pitch looks right, I'm okay with that. This isn't even close. I mean, this is a whole nother, more than a 10-foot story. So this is way beyond what the ordinance envisions.
Whatever the thinking was that went into the ordinance, and we are not party to that, whatever that thinking was, it's clear that that thinking wouldn't have included this. It's not. Right. It's not just a little deviation.
It's not close. When they wrote the ordinance, I think Mr. Mattson has it right. They're envisioning preventing these really large structures from popping up far from the house, and I envision this to be antithetical to what they had in mind when they wrote it. A couple feet, yeah, we probably could work with that. But this isn't even close. In my estimation, there has to be a pretty good reason to grant a variance of this big. And okay. I haven't heard it. I don't know if anyone else has either. So.
Okay.
So what we should do is, so you don't have to re-notice, we should continue the application. But if the plan changes and the deviations are less, then the notice is fine. Because, okay? Yes. If the plan changes and the deviations got worse, we'd have a notice problem. So the barn can't come any closer to the road than you're showing it now.
Understood.
And it can't be any higher than you're showing it now. But obviously what they're saying is they're not. No one's comfortable in that
with
location being 28 and a half feet.
Unless it were
attached, and then it would be out of their hands, you see. Because if you attached it, you wouldn't need their permission.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
And may I also add, Mr. Junio, before when you mentioned the excavator, you know, 12, 14, 16 feet, whatever that was, if somehow, I don't know, the excavator is basing that on some kind of a calculation or volume cut that he was doing, ask him again, is that in fact, I mean, you know, you might have said 12, 16 feet. It may not have been, and it may be something less, but he may be, like, panning that out instead of a retaining wall.
Mm-hmm.
He might be able to cut back on a slope and still be able to maintain it, cut grass or
put
something down rather than a wall.
Maybe
get a little bit more, as far as I'm concerned, get a little bit more information on why you can't put that on that left side. I think, you know, I wouldn't want that in front of my house, to be honest with you. But it's your property.
Okay.
But I'm just suggestion.
If I was to consider that, then what would be the next step? If say I drew up plans and that was something that I talked to an architect about and talked to a builder and priced it out, and what would be the next step from there? I wouldn't need a variance, you're saying, if I have it.
If you attached it, you don't need a variance. You don't have to come to this board. You can apply for a zoning permit and a construction permit.
Okay.
If you want to have it detached, what they're saying is, it sounds like you got to do something to lower it no matter what, but you also need an argument. And if you want to make the argument that it looks better detached, you're going to have to bring in something showing what it would look like attached. So they can see with their own eyes, oh, this is what it would look like if he didn't need a variance. Oh, it looks better for the community to have it detached.
Okay.
All right, so this hearing is going to be continued to November 26, 2018. No need for further notice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, any other questions for us?
The last thing is, it's up to you, but if you had the architect here, it seems to me that it would go smoother because he'd probably be able to answer questions about height. They're still going to ask you, by the way, how high your house is.
Right.
So between now and then, you should probably get an answer to that. But
I'll find that out.
I don't think they're not going to require you to have your architect here.
He said that was his intent, though, to get another meeting tonight.
Yeah.
That could be helpful. Yeah.
I'll let him know as soon as I can. It's in his calendar, far in advance.
Yeah, God willing.
Ah.
In addition, if he's going to do any drawings of any kind, you're probably not going to have the deadline for getting in the revised drawings.
Well, put it this way. If you want what you need approved, is a plan like that. Elevations could be an exhibit. He could bring elevations if he wanted to the night of. But if you're going to have a different, and if he wants an exhibit showing how it would look attached, he could bring it that night.
Okay.
If you're going to alter the location from that, that's got to be filed at least 10 days before the 26th, by November 16, because the municipal land use law
on a new have it set up so that it's here.
Yeah, if right.
On one of these maps.
Right. If you're going to change the location, that map has to be submitted to the board office 10 days before the 16th.
Okay.
Thank you.
10 days
John.
Before the 26th. Okay,
yeah, sorry.
16.
Yeah.
The 16th. By the 16th.
Okay.
That's additional good information. What I was going to say is, if you don't have everything in place with your architect by the November date, at least come here and voice
that.
Because otherwise. Yeah.
Then you'd have to do another new notice. Ooh,
right.
You are on tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
So we keep continuing if we
so
can.
So we keep continuing so you didn't have
to
do another new notice.
I got you.
Yeah.
Does
he have to show up or can he just send a letter?
You can send a letter. If you're not going to be ready for November 26th, you can send a letter and ask to have it continued to the December meeting.
Okay.
Right. We put it on the agenda and announce publicly,
even though
there might not be anyone here.
Right.
That's Carrington in December.
And who would I address that to if I need
Denise.
Denise. Okay.
I'll tell you what. Just to play it safe, let's also ask you on the record to extend the time within which the board has 120 days to decide these variance applications.
Okay.
Just in case you get snowed out or something. Let's get you to consent that you're going to extend the time for the board to decide the application for the last meeting in January, just in case you can't do any continuances. Okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yep. So he's extended the time to decide to the January, till January 31. So,
yeah. Yep. And public notices were sent out?
Yes.
Yeah.
And just note. I don't see any public.
That's true.
No objectors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you for your time, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Sharma?
Mr. Sharma obviously is not here, so let me just... Also, we didn't make a big deal about it, but you didn't submit enough copies of that plan.
Okay.
That's why we don't have any. So could you, whatever you're going to submit, if it's the same plan or a new plan, check with me.
Yeah, check with me.
Okay.
It's going to be more than that. Depending upon what you submit.
More than nine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just check with
you. It's going to be at least 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably a little bit more.
All right.
No, but they get spread around to everybody.
Yeah.
Well,
because depending upon what you do, I may have to get it to Tom before
the
meeting.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. So, how many members of the board were on the board when Mr. Sharma either got his initial approval or any of the extensions? Raise your hand if you recognize the name Mr. Sharma.
I recognize him.
Okay.
August 11th.
Hold on. Probably.
August 22nd, 2011.
Yep.
Really?
Well, I have written
that.
So I'm just going to give you a quick background. Mr. Sharma owns property designated, and when applicants apply for extensions, the board has never required them to come. If the question comes up, then the board adjourns it and asks them to come. Twice, the board has asked someone to come.
Thanks, yes.
Good night.
But
good night.
Usually, if they write a detailed letter, which Mr. Sharma did, normally you have enough information. I'm not saying you have to say yes, but you have enough information with which to make a decision. But let me just give you a brief history. I'm just going to read the first paragraph of the last extension resolution. Mr. Sharma owns property designated on the Clinton Township tax map as Block 80, Lot 6. I'm going to refer to that as the property. It has a street address of 12 Cedar Grove Road in Annandale. The applicant obtained from the board the following C variances to allow construction of a two-story addition and a wraparound porch to the southerly side and westerly rear of his existing two-story family dwelling. First, he had a C1 hardship variance to allow construction of the addition and the porch encroaching into the easterly 75-foot yard front yard setback area. Second, a C2 benefits versus detriment variance to allow construction of the porch encroaching into the 30-foot southerly side setback area. One was a hardship variance, one was a benefits versus burdens variance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the board didn't find hardship on that side, but I can tell you that they found it would be more aesthetically pleasing, and they found hardship on the other side. There were a bunch of conditions, and a bunch of things had to be done by certain dates. So I'm just going to summarize, because these are not at issue. There's some landscaping conditions, and the applicant has until January 23, 2017, which is 2 years from the latest date by which they must obtain a CO to plant the landscape. Now, Mr. Sharma hasn't asked for that date to be extended, obviously, right? January 23, 2017 has come and gone. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to add that. That's condition 3B. We're going to have to add that to his request. Expansion of the septic system. The applicant is required to install a new enlarged septic system for a five-bedroom dwelling by January 23, 2020. He hasn't asked to have that extended, so I don't suggest we take, you know, any liberty extending that. That's condition 6A, so we leave that alone. What he asked to have extended is 8. Again, I repeat, if you extend 8, we got to extend 3B, or otherwise he's going to be out of compliance and he's going to be back next month. Condition 8 says the following. The applicant shall have until January 23, 2014 to apply for and obtain construction permit. And then he had a 2-year period, a 1-year period after that to commence and complete construction and obtain a permit. Mm-hmm. So this is what Mr. Sharma says. He wrote a letter addressed to Denise on October 11, and he says, I'm writing to request an 8-month extension, to all time limitations. Okay, I'm wrong about that. He even wants 6A, everything.
Even the septic.
Everything, even the septic, extended by 8 months. In accordance with the last Clinton Township Planning Board resolution, I paid for the construction permit. I retained a general contractor in January. The contractor scheduled to start the work in August. In early September, the contractor and crew came in, surveyed, and marked the grounds, and they stuck steel rods all around for the new layout. They then disappeared and started giving me the runaround. Mr. Sharma has had trouble with contractors. I am not going to speculate on why.
But you don't think there's any mutual effect.
I'm not speculating. Now the contractor's telling him they want to start the work in late November and they want to work through the winter. They are assuring him that the work quality will not suffer because this winter is not expected to be as cold. And it's okay to pour concrete for new foundations and retaining walls in a mile from here. Reading the letter.
Okay.
It might be... It seems I'm being pushed into a rush job over the uncertain wintry months by the contractor. He's feeling uncomfortable about the whole situation. Well, he hasn't mentioned he's blown through the... He did get the permits, you know, right. Issuing...
He pulled the permits.
He pulled the permits, right. But, you know, he's out of time.
When did he pull the permits?
He says that it doesn't actually say when he pulled the permits, but if they issued him the permits, I have to assume... especially if Mike Wright had anything to do with it, that he pulled the permits within the time period set forth in the resolution.
Which was?
When?
January 2014.
No, we gave him 2 extensions already. We extended him to January of 2018.
What's the last resolution that you have?
Well, the date of my notes is January 30th of 2017.
Yeah, I'm reading resolution 2017-01.
So how could the date be 2014
okay, so
in the resolution?
Okay, you know what? You're right. I'm so sorry.
I believe you doesn't he have until...
No. Tom's right. I was reading the front part, not the back part.
Right.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Landscaping has until January 23, 2021.
2021 for landscaping?
Yes, that's okay. Why I had in my notes that I didn't think he needed landscaping.
Okay.
And the expansion of the sewer was January 23, 2024. That's why I didn't think he needed that.
And he still doesn't. That one's okay.
Right, but although he's requested 8 months on everything.
For anything.
But he doesn't need, landscaping
it.
Or septic. Mm-hmm. And then 8A is the time to commence and complete construction. He had until January 23, 2018. So he must have pulled those permits prior to January 3, 2018.
Yes.
Or Mike wouldn't have issued them. And then he has 1 year from the time they're issued to...
The CO.
So you have January of 2019.
Right. And that's right. And that one we know he needs the extension on. Now, he's asking for an 8 month extension. In my mind, give him a year extension on the CO, but it's up to you if you want to give him a year on the other two or not. Maybe you don't, because, I mean, his whole argument was he needed time, you know, with money and everything. He's arguing right now that he needs time because the contractor is not on schedule. He's not made an argument for why he should push the landscaping or the septic system dates out any, but that's up to you. He's asked for it.
So they originally were pushed out because of the monetary burden of building and doing all that?
Well, his father was ill. It's a long story.
It's a long story.
Long story. Mm-hmm. I seem to recall, John, I don't know if you remember, maybe everyone remembers, when we talked about the septic, he said there was no need to do it at the time of construction because it was still good. And then I think we picked some arbitrary date in the future.
Well, this is what the whole condition says.
Okay.
The applicant shall be required to install a new enlarged septic system sized for a five-bedroom dwelling by January 23, 2014. Then in parentheses is an explanation, which is 5 years from the latest date by which the applicant must obtain a permanent certificate of occupancy for the dwelling and porch, or upon the sale of the property, whichever occurs first.
So it's 5 years after it's done or when he sells the property?
It's 5 years after it's done or when he sells the property,
right,
whichever first occurs.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Why is there 5 years after
that? Hey, can we just take a quick break here? Just...
Yeah.
5 minute recess.
Yep.
All right, on the way out.
Okay, so we're talking about
he absolutely needs an extension on the time to complete construction and obtain a permits and certificates. Now, let's assume, I mean, I know he's asked for 8 months, but that's nuts.
Yeah.
I think what we should say is if you're okay with a 1 year, since we have a January 23, 2018 date, if you wanted to grant a year, we could say that we're going to calculate the year to be January 13, 2020.
To complete construction.
To complete construction and obtain a permanent CO. Mm-hmm. That would give him, assuming he got the permit January 23, 2018, he would have had until January 23, 2019.
Right.
So if you gave him a year, it would bring it to January 23, 2020. And really, the only questions are, do you want to change the January 23, 2021 date for landscaping? That's 1 year beyond when he gets his permit for the structure. You want to extend it another year?
No.
I don't know. What would the rationale for that be?
Right.
None.
I'm not inclined to.
Just right. And he's not here to ask. I mean, he asked for it in the letter, but there's no reason set forth in the letter for it.
Right.
Right. And same with the septic.
Same with the septic. January 23, 2024. So my suggestion is you give him more than the 8 month extension he requested for the permanent CO, but that's it.
But that effectively gives the extension on the septic because we measure that 5 days from
mm-hmm.
You just said 24. Or it was already 24.
It was already.
Which just happens to be 5 years in this case.
When it was first drafted, it was five.
When it was first drafted, it was five.
Okay.
I'm going to strike that. I'm just going to leave the dates in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's the date again? I'm sorry.
For which?
Septic. Yeah.
Septic's going to say by January 23, 2024, or...
Sale.
Upon the sale of the property, whichever occurs first.
Okay, so here's where I'm confused. In order for him to do anything with the house, the septic has to align with the rooms that he has, the bedrooms in the house.
Right.
Okay, so why would it be disconnected in terms of his septic being aligned with the construction that he's doing?
Technically, he's not allowed to use five bedrooms.
But that's my point.
I know,
so,
and at
listen,
the time, I guess that was his testimony, he wasn't going to.
Well, I can tell you, I don't remember, but it doesn't really matter because I can tell you this. It would be highly irregular to cut back on a date that you previously granted.
Okay.
What's done is done.
Yes, we don't have to extend it, but pulling
you don't
it
have to extend it, but going backwards, it's a big problem.
Right, we'd need to have a hearing on that one.
Yes, you would need a hearing, and during that hearing, you would need a darn good reason.
Right.
So, do you know what his own, what his septic is for now?
No, I have no idea. Let me see if I can find out.
I think, though, Sharon, in order for him to get this CO, he's going to have a compliant septic system at
right.
that time.
Right.
Or else he wouldn't get the CO, permanent CO.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, this whole discussion kind of baffles me, quite frankly.
I think what he's accomplishing is obtaining the CO, you know, until 2021. Is that what we said?
Well, the septic is 2024.
Yeah, but that's going to be null and void.
That's what
when
I mean.
When he goes to get...
Okay.
So, you know,
he wants the CO, he's going to have to comply.
He's going to have to comply. That's why I was baffled by the whole thing.
So I don't want to agree or disagree with that.
No, you don't have
that.
To.
I'm not listening.
But we let the zoning officer deal with that.
Correct.
That's his job.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
So, the people want to grant an extension of condition 8 only and say that instead of the condition saying you have 1 year from the issuance of your construction permit, that he has until January 23, 2020 to complete construction and obtain the permanent CO.
Yes, I'm good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, I'm looking at the you have the original resolution?
Yeah, I do.
I just was looking, expansion of the septic system.
Yeah, what does it say?
The applicant shall be required to install a new enlarged septic sized for a five-bedroom dwelling by December 15th, 2016, which is within 5 years of the adoption of the within resolution. So we're saying adopt the resolution. And then he has a certain time to pull the permits, construction, and 5 years from the date of the resolution to get the septic, which is 2016. So we must have moved that date out.
You did.
All the way to 2024. How do we end up?
Yeah. You
probably
did that.
From the adoption of the next resolution.
Yeah, we moved them all out.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct. But
now that makes sense.
But somehow it doesn't sound right. Because we moved the date out 8 years from the original date.
In resolution 2017-01,
yeah.
You extended the date
to 2024.
No,
I'm sure we did. I'm wondering if we made a mistake at that time.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is,
yeah, it's water under the bridge.
It's water under the bridge.
Done. Yeah,
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
Every time I think about this thing, I get a headache.
But no more. I'm taking a note for when he comes back in 2 years. We're not moving that one out again.
We're moving anything.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have to move it out. We just can't move it forward, John's saying, right? So
correct.
Well, and dependent upon whatever happens when he gets a CO.
Yeah. So what was the thinking behind not needing the septic system at the time he got a permanent CO, a septic system for a five-bedroom thing?
Because
he wasn't going to use the fifth room as a bedroom immediately?
That's my guess. I don't know, but that's my guess.
Yes. But how?
Because Mr. Wright was probably the zoning officer at the time. Say no more, say no more. Meaning that the zoning officer at the time was an enforcer of, and was looking, you know, looking around. So maybe that once he was no longer the zoning officer, maybe you guys don't feel the same way as you do with conditions like that. How would it be enforced? Maybe you felt more comfortable. I'm speculating. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think he can approve house with five bedrooms doesn't have a septic system that's suitable for five bedrooms.
Right. That's what I would think.
Right. And that's where we all are. Gave an extension that doesn't meet the ordinance.
Correct. So I'm just speculating
right.
that he said, I'm not going to use five bedrooms until the septic system is expanded. And that may have even been his argument for why not, don't make me do it now, because I'm not using the five bedrooms. Maybe he even said he was thinking of bringing his parents back here or something. I don't know. And his, remember, his father ended up passing away. He had to spend, like, many months in, I believe, India.
India, right. Right. He had to go back to India.
He had to go back to India.
Yeah, and the resolution doesn't say, and I don't
know. There's certain things I don't remember. There's certain things I do remember, and that's one I do
not
remember.
Not one I remember, because that was the reason
was
for
the
extension.
Yeah.
Right.
He'll end up having to reduce his efforts as people have done building.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to make a motion to grant the extension to January 23, 2020, to a complete construction and obtain a permanent CO.
That's the only change.
That's the only change.
The only change.
So moved.
And a second?
Aye.
Wait, did I say that? Wait a minute. I forget that. I didn't like register. Okay. Mr. Filas?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
All right.
He's got a smile on his face now.
There you
go. Two other small items of business. John, you don't have anything else, right?
Nope, I'm done.
So organizational meeting will probably be fourth Monday in January, which is the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Is that right?
Denise is checking as you speak.
28th.
And in the past, we've gone out to dinner ahead of time. People interested in doing that again?
Yeah.
If we did, we'd have to move the meeting back probably 7 o'clock, like too early, 7:30 start. You guys interested in dinner?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
What time are you doing dinner?
If we have the meeting at 7:30, what time should we eat?
Six.
No, later.
No later than six.
Yeah, okay.
Even 7:30 meeting. I think when we were having dinner,
you start late.
Start at 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Members up for reappointment would be
me,
you, and Lefkis, and your term ends, right?
Again. Do you want me to come back?
Sure. I'd love to. It's up to the mayor, right?
Yeah.
I would suggest if anyone whose term is up wants to come back, you should give the mayor a call to let him know. So he doesn't assume that because you didn't call, you weren't interested.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, so far I don't have any issues on my list that need to be included in the annual report. Things that we want. I actually only had seven. I only had one, actually, was two things. One was signs related to interconnecting lots, which was Bourbon.
Yeah, Bourbon Street.
Right, we had an issue about that. And then use of Airbnb. Someone said we ought to just make sure that the planning board kind of checks that out. Mm-hmm. We don't have any specific recommended changes, but ask them to go back and make sure they're comfortable.
And Mr. Glaser raised tonight on the break whether or not there's a limitation on how many accessory structures you could have on a lot. And I don't think there's a limitation in the ordinance. I'm not suggesting that there should be or shouldn't be. I just said in Raritan Township, for example, they don't have a limitation on the number of accessory structures. They have a limitation on the total square footage of accessory structures you can have on a lot. And it depends on what zone you're in because I think it's a percentage or something. Hmm.
So we don't have to make a recommendation. We could just say, hey, you might want to consider this.
You might want to look at it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Anything else? So if you think of anything else in the next couple of months, write it down, bring it in, we'll put it in the report. Okay.
Also, if anybody has any suggestions for where they would like to go.
For dinner.
For dinner. Email me.
Harper's Table. Down the street, Harper's Table. That's close.
Right. And it is.
Harper's
it's
Table,
close.
The new place.
You know, I haven't been there, so
it's
I don't
nice.
Know.
It's nice. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have anything? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Garth, who's second? Wayne?
Yes.
Here we go.